chapter 7. There's always more to the story. "Woe to the obstinate children," declares the Lord, "to those who carry out plans that are not mine, forming an alliance, but not by my spirit, heaping sin upon sin." Isaiah 30, verse 1. The damage didn't begin or end with abortion. Even if I hadn't gotten pregnant outside of marriage or chosen abortion, lifetime damage was done. I would never see marriage or relationship between husband and wife the same way as if I'd remained pure until marriage. That's not to say that God doesn't offer forgiveness following repentance, nor bring healing with purposeful reprogramming. But my mind and heart will continue to remember things that never should have entered them in the first place. Because of my disobedience to God in this area, that sense of mystery and mutual discovery of God-ordained love and sex in the context of marriage was damaged in what felt beyond repair. Thrown out with that is mutual respect in marriage because I can't undo what I have done, and it's hard enough to love in marriage without this kind of baggage. I lost understanding of all God intended. There were so many tangled paths in the aftermath that have shown up over the years when I've least expected them. I've told myself lie after lie, trying to negotiate the stench of my past sin. I admit that I am not at a place I would like to be in the area of sexual health. I can't blame most of the damage on abuse by anyone else. But even though I was taught well by authentic parents who did the best they could, I still made poor choices in this area. And each poor choice resulted in a lie that I told myself that there is no long-term harm from a little sin. The truth is that there is long-term harm deep in my soul and in my approach to my relationship with my husband. Though he has lived a much purer life than I, we've both been influenced by the lies I've believed. I cannot write this book authentically without saying that I need more healing in this area. I believe sexual healing is possible just as healing from abortion is possible. God is in the business of redeeming us in these ways. But I must purposefully seek out that healing within Christian community through deprogramming myself from the false beliefs I've engaged. I have friends who were molested as children or raped as adults. Those are the people I've always thought of as needing sexual healing. When a child is molested, I think that the damage done is not much different emotionally than had a truck with spiked tires run over them physically. The damage lasts a lifetime without purposeful intervention, and often even with a great deal of therapy. That's not so hard to see. But sexual damage from not following God's laws is much the same. It's also for a lifetime without intentional healing. That's harder to see. Recently, I shared a Bible study, The Path to Sexual Healing, with a friend who was molested as a child. She expressed so much pain over her experiences. After starting the study, she suggested that I, too, would benefit from it. At the end of a recent abortion healing group I facilitated, 3/4 of the women in the group expressed a desire to go through this study together. In my own healing journey, this was the next step for me. Furthermore, as per my recommendation to others for abortion recovery, I went through this study with a group of other women so I could get the most out of it. The healing, new understanding, and redeemed chastity these women and I experienced is beyond anything I can describe. I'm taking a refresher course this year and finding that purposeful reprogramming involves repetition and reminders before consistent, healthy thought patterns emerge.